Father, as we take a moment again to remember those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, Lord God, we're privileged to be able to sit in freedom today. We're privileged that we serve a Lord and Savior that desires to have a relationship with us. We are just blessed people. Lord God, as we take a moment now and we continue in our series, The Parable of the Sower, Lord God, may our hearts be open. May our hearts be ready. May what you've already been doing and stirring in our hearts be completed today. May you get honor and glory. May we never forget the power of the Word of God working in our lives. May we never forget the responsibility that we have as children of God to continue to reach out to those that are around us, that you might be glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Since the presence of the Lord, I sensed God doing some amazing things. And as we continue to look at this series, the parable of sower, and last week you remember we talked about the power of God working in our lives, and the power of God active in the things of our surroundings, in the things that we come in contact with. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to again read this scripture. The different soils that are active in our life and what God wants to do in those soils. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 1, reading down to verse 9. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it had not much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear." As we looked at that last week, I want you to understand something. The reason I broke this up the way I did is because until you understand the power of God working in your life, until you understand that the power of God's Word can change circumstances, change situations, change your attitude, change everything else, how can you understand what the farmer in this parable is trying to show us? Not only what God wants to do in our lives, but what we're to do for others that we come in contact with once we receive the blessings of God. The farmer here, God, his goal is to get the good seed, the Word of God, into good soil, you and I. And allowing this to happen, because when you understand the power of God working, the seed may be small here, but there's life in the seed. And once the seed dies in the ground and begins to grow, we see that it's bearing fruit. And that's exactly what God wants in our lives. But it's got to be planted in good soil, and it has to achieve its intended purpose. Amen to that this morning. God's desire is not for a Christian to just receive salvation and then just wait for him to take you home. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be throwing seeds. He wants us to be administering God's word to people in need, and to be conscious and sensitive to the things that are around us. And then also understand that the whole time God is wanting to continue to do a works in our lives. Last week we looked at Hebrews 4:12. We said, "For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Last week we looked at God's word is living. This is not just another book. It is the spoken word of God. It's the same word of God that God Almighty spoke this world into existence. It's the one that can make changes. It's not just another book. God's word imparts new life to dead sinners. Say amen to that. We have to understand that we are lost without a Savior, and God imparts new life to dead sinners. God's word imparts new life to his saints. These are things that we looked at last week. I need to just lay this groundwork so that we can dig in. God not only saves us, but wants us to be empowered to be active in the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. That we're not only just the receivers, but we have to be the givers. And as far as kingdom work, God's word is active. Like I said, it's not fire insurance. It's a lifestyle. Say amen to that. It's a lifestyle. Being a Christian, being a believer, being a follower of Christ is a lifestyle. It's not fire insurance. We're thankful that we're on our way to heaven, but we got work to do until we get there. God's word is sharp and piercing, which means in his mercy and in his grace, he desires to cut out those things that destroy and replace it with love, which changes our attitude, which changes how we think, changes our priorities on how we look at things. So if you grab onto all of that, we can just now continue on from last week as we begin to look at the different soils. And we see that the first soil that's mentioned in this parable is the hard heart, the uninterested heart, the heart that he says in verse 4, he says, "And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." See, you got to understand, in the times of Jesus telling this parable, that the fields were small and they were separated from one another, and the paths became like concrete because people would walk across these paths and animals would walk on these paths. And you probably understand what, if animals are walking on the paths, what was on also on the paths. Are you there? Jen's not the only one that can tell a joke and slide one in there. You got to understand that this path was hard. It was like concrete from people walking on and animals kicking it. I get a kick out of it because we Becky and I just recently ate at Chick-fil-A, and there's a hotel that sits up on a hill, and people are trying to come down this hill. It's not on. What did I just do? Arms flailing. I'm going to get fired. Josh is looking at me like, oh my gosh, I do everything I can, but he still messes it up. And I see this, and they try to walk down this hill, and it's a lot of brush, and they're having a hard time, but there is a cut in there, and you can see the path that they've made. So there it is. And what this passage is saying is that path being so much like concrete that the seed just lays on it until the birds come and gobble it up. And I would think that this would kind of be like throwing seeds on a sidewalk. Can you see amen to that? It's kind of like throwing seeds on a sidewalk. That's going to be a good one. We all know people like this, don't we? That have that hard heart, that uninterested heart. And when you begin to mention God, what happens? They get defensive. They begin to tell you how much they do in the world, how kind they are, and what charities that they give to, and all kinds of things. When you begin to look at this heart that is hard, they want to tell you that their heart's not hard. They want to tell you that they're a good person. They're not as bad as so-and-so, you know, and then maybe they'll go into the hypocrites of the church that they used to go to. And then get me here. They believe, and the key words here are they believe that God loves them so much that they don't have to adhere to the rules and scriptures that God lays down for us. Verse 15 says, "And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." Satan will kill, steal, and destroy everything he can to keep you along that path. Do you understand that? He will try to make everything concerning the Word of God like concrete, confusing you, trying to allow you to miss what God has for you. There's two forces in the world today, God and Satan. There's two forces. Now some want to just not acknowledge that, but there is good and evil in the world. There is God trying to reach people, and there's Satan trying to keep you from receiving what God has. And then when you stop and you think about it, there's people that, you know, well, God is unseen, Satan is unseen, and we don't have angels just floating around, and we don't have that little red man with a pitchfork running around. So people don't quite understand everything that's going on. But in the midst of all this evil, in the midst of all this confusion, in the midst of so many different attitudes going on right now, we talked a little bit about that in days past. I've heard some of the Sunday school teachers talk about that, that in the midst of all of that, God is still doing miracles. You say amen to that? God is still doing miracles, but it's on the back page, because we live in a society that doesn't want to acknowledge these things that are going on. We still see people helping the underdog. We still want to help the third world countries. We still want to go out and preach the gospel to those that are around us. All of these things are important, but they end up on the back burner because we sometimes are as a society, we're more wanting to praise the criminal and the things that they do than acknowledge God. We are more willing to stand in a line for hours to go to a sporting event than give God an hour of our time. That's the society that we live in right now. We have to acknowledge that, but God still wants to do amazing things in amidst that. The phrase takeaway means to seize and to force. Notice that in the scripture that it says Satan immediately comes, because he'll try to kill and steal and destroy it immediately. He doesn't want you to even think about it. He wants to cause the confusion. He wants you to be calloused concerning the gospel. I think each one of us can relate to all of these hearts. Because I think back, and I'm just being honest now. This is pastor sharing his heart. There was a time that I wouldn't like you too much. You would have been those people until God changed my heart. Until I looked at it in a different way. There was a time that I wouldn't have gave you the time or day because you wouldn't have fit in with my friends until God changed the heart. And I believe each one of us can acknowledge that at least at some point in our lives that we had that hard heart. That we had a heart and God broke through. And God changed our heart and changed our circumstances and changed how we looked at things. When you go and sow, the kingdom of God will grow. Say amen to that. I'll probably throw that at you a couple times. Go and sow and the kingdom of God will grow. And God changes our hearts and changes us the way we think. The second soil. So we got the first one is the hard. And that's the one that nobody wants to be. Oh, I'm not that guy. I'm not that gal. The second one is a rocky soil. A shallow heart. Verse 5 and 6 tells us, "Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away." Got to remember again, in that part of the world, there's much of the land was solid rock. And what would happen is there would be just enough soil on those rocks to set the seed to growing, but then the longer it stayed on the rock, the more it didn't have any depth. It caused the seed to germinate, but in the same sense, the surroundings caused it, because it had no root system, to wither and die. Now, I can relate to that, because if you stop and you think about the area around Jerusalem and everything else, they may not have guns and ammo to come at each other as a normal people, but they're constantly throwing rocks at each other. You see on the news, they're constantly throwing rocks at something because they're available. Rocks are everywhere. The ground that they're tilling is rocky, and it's available. When people hear this kind of message, they become exuberant and emotional. And I'll prove it by the verse here. Verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And I think, again, pastor sharing his heart to people, how many times you hear, "Pastor, I loved your message. It was terrific. Oh, I just love the people in the church. I just love what you're doing." Well, who wouldn't want to go to a church like that? So why do they fall off the face of the earth? If my message is good, and I didn't cause you to sleep, and if people are friendly, and you're looking to find a place where you can worship, why wouldn't that be a great place? Because of the soil that it's put into. You see this, and you see that they get emotional. They're caught up in the moon. You know, they're the same people. I want to get involved, but then the day of it, they can't be found. I know that from the hot dog stand just the other week that we raised money for this community day. "Pastor, I'll be there." No show. Because it's shallow ground. I want you to see something and understand this. The soil looks good, but the problem comes when the problem comes. Do you understand what I'm saying there? The soil looks good, and they appear to really have received what God is doing, whether it be in that service, whether it be, you know, a time of ministry and some of the things that we do during the week. You know, the soil looks good, but when they have a problem, it becomes a problem because they drift away. They have no root. They have foundation that's going to keep them. You know, the word of God was not able to go deep into their heart. How many know that sometimes all you have is God at those moments? And it would be really easy to let go. It would be really easy to give up. But your root is deep enough to know that that would be the most stupid thing that you could do. But a lot of times when the root isn't deep, they just move on to the next crisis. And some people just go from one crisis to the next crisis. Some people just need God to meet their needs. Somebody just needs fire insurance. Somebody just needs God to pull a miracle for them. And then they forget God. It becomes this emotional enthusiasm where the roots don't take root. I know nobody knows anybody like that but me. Here's the verse for that other person. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Did you catch that? Sometimes the word becomes their problem. Because you got to remember, again, that God's word cuts and pierces and sees and digs in. It goes to the heart. And we could say we have no troubles, but God centers in on them and understands right where our problem is. They remember that the word is powerful, and it begins to cut these things away. The problem comes because we're not ready to let God cut them away yet. Do you understand that? And the problem comes because we are not ready to give those things up. God says, "There it is. You know, I want to do surgery on that. I want to cut that out." And we're not ready to. And then trouble comes because of persecution. Maybe because of what we believe. Maybe because we're experiencing some of that in the world today. We have freedom today. Nobody's busted down the door. But there is that fear that one day it could happen. There is fear that the rights of the U.S. citizens is going to be in jeopardy because of persecution. If you cannot handle things and serve God when things are good, when you hit troubles, you will fold. Do you hear me this morning? And we experience that. We see that in the church universal. Trouble comes when our faith is weak. When we allow others to tear us down and to destroy our faith. Now, hear this. Even Christians aren't perfect. I know that's a shocker, ain't it? Even Christians aren't perfect, and if we let other imperfect people stray us, we're going to fall. As soon as difficulty comes, they will ditch their superficial spirituality. A person like this has a hollow heart and has never let the Word of God go deep. This person wants a God who does what he says. And I realize we're closing in. So hang in there. Hang in there. Notice that Jesus doesn't say if. He says when. There is going to be persecution. Third thing is the thorn heart. It's the divided heart. It's seeds fall on this and are choked out by the things of the world. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorn grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. The word choked literally means what it says here. Literally, the seed is strangled by the thorns and thistles and things of our lives, and that we will produce no fruit. How many know you don't need to grow weeds? Maybe many of you, like me, were doing yard work yesterday and you realized that you didn't plant it, but they're still there. Weeds will grow by themselves. Weeds will entangle. Weeds will strangle what's around that you intend to have. Verse 18 and 19. I am struggling with... I'm creating my own language here, folks. Verse 18 and 19. And others are the ones sown among thorns, those that hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches all cause them to strangle out what God is trying to do. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things, these are all things that the world will try to put in front of you and cause you to stumble and cause you to walk away from God. My response to that is pull the weeds. Pull the weeds as soon as you see them. Don't let the weeds get up over. Don't let them choke out what God is doing. Fourth thing is a humble heart. It's the good soil. It's the receptive soil. It's the soil that all of us want to wish that we had and hope that we have. There's only one kind of soil that God will use that produces fruit. And other seeds fell in good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Good ground that's not hard, not hollow, not thorned, but something that God can work with, something that God can intervene with. Humble hearts will bear fruit. Humble hearts will allow God to work in our lives. I can picture Jesus smiling when we allow our hearts and our lives to be open enough that he can do what he needs to do and allow us to be the people that he wants us to be. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. When we are faithful, we will be fruitful. Say amen to that. The problem is, sometimes we don't want to hear what God has to say. Those times where God says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that despise you, use you, and persecute you. Timothy goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The Bible says this will happen, and we're living in those days. So let me say this. What condition is your ground this morning? On the path, hard concrete, seeds are being thrown down, but the birds are eating them, Satan's gobbling them up. This morning, are you on rocky ground, shallow? Kind of, as soon as you have any kind of problems, you know, you're still thinking that being a Christian, you don't have any problems, everything's going to be perfect, you never have any worries anymore. Have sometimes a quitter mentality. Or is your ground the thorns that just because you're going after some things that God is moving you in another direction seems to be choking out the things that God wants to do? Or are you living the good life, allowing God to do and work in your life and have good ground, the balanced life? I believe the balanced life is allowing God, body, soul, and spirit, to work, plant seed, and you're bearing fruit, and you're planting seed yourself. James goes on to say, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Power of the seed, the word, active in our lives, releasing emotions that then desires, and being sensitive what God wants to do, and you believe that God can make an impact. I love what Jen said this morning. Excited. Believing that God can make a difference in the community. Believing that, you know what, God can use a pony to change somebody's life. God can use throwing the pastor in a dunk tank to change somebody's life. If we'll allow him to do that. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Life is in the seed and the soil, not the sower. Do you hear me this morning? So for all of those that say, yeah, God, I want you to work in my life. I want you to change all these things in my life. That's all good. But then when it comes to God saying, you need to throw some seed. Well, I can't do that. I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. It's not in the sower when it comes to us. God gives the increase. We're just the farmer throwing the seed, allowing God to see what kind of soil that it's going to be on. And I'll end with this verse, Galatians 6:7-9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We don't know where other people's hearts are. Do you understand that this morning? This should take a whole lot of pressure off of us. We don't know what God's doing in somebody's heart. All we want to do is plant a seed and allow God to nurture it. Allow God to see where it's at. Sometimes just being available is God's preparation of a heart ready to receive. Say amen to that. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord God, we understand the parable. For some, they've heard it 1,000 times. Lord God, you take the pressure off by, first of all, you're the farmer sowing seeds in our life. You're the farmer that is wanting our hearts to be in good soil, allowing you to work and cut and do the things that needed in our lives. But then, Lord God, you also say that we should bear fruit. And by bearing fruit just means that we will reproduce seeds of our kind, making us in the image of Christ. We want the desire to throw seeds that would cause someone to come to Christ, cause someone to have a relationship with you. Lord God, we can't change a heart. We can't save anyone. We can't change a heart. But Lord God, we can be a tool that you use to minister to the heart that you've already been working on. And that you would get honor and glory in that. We give you honor this morning. We give you praise. It's a lesson for each and every one of us, whether we first day knowing Jesus or we've been a Christian for 50 years. We all can learn something here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.